Roll sound, please. Roll sound.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston. ESPN 97.5. Live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud LLP. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back as we move into hour number three. We will have some guests this hour. Our schedule's a little off right now. But if you want to get in touch with the show, couple ways to do it. You can hit us up on Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And as we continue to count down towards Super Bowl 50, and we only got 2 more hours left here, man.
Well.
Yeah, this is, we're going to finish strong. I'm going to kick it in here.
Well, we got a free segment here. You want to talk a little John Foosball?
Yeah, we need to, first off, I have to remove his title of Sir Jonathan Football. He's no longer Sir Jonathan. But, yeah, that happens. You can't, you know, if you want to keep your knighthood.
What are you going with now, John Football Esquire? Or
no, he's just John.
John.
He's just John.
Okay.
I'm not giving him the football back. I'm not giving him the sir back.
All right. Well, John, things are bleak right now. And, you know, from all the accounts that I've heard, and I don't know, I've never met John's dad, Paul, but everyone I know who has says that whatever issues you have with what Johnny is off the field, it mostly comes from his dad.
Yeah.
I mean, they're supposedly cut from the same cloth, but he seems to be all of a sudden very worried, very concerned. He says that he's worried his son is headed to a bleak future. And I truly believe if they can't get him help, he won't live to see his 24th birthday, is what Paul Manziel said.
Who's they?
I guess he's hoping the Browns. I'm not sure. I mean, you're his dad.
Shouldn't that be if we can't get him help?
Well,
I can't get him help?
His agent bailed on him. Today.
So, okay, he's the agent's not the they.
He's not the they. He said that he will no longer be Johnny Football's agent, which, listen, that's a pay cut, but sometimes it's, that's got to be a difficult job to be that guy's agent.
I don't
at this
think
point.
That dude's getting another contract, so I don't think it's that big of a loss.
The story the valet told and that whole situation is just very, very disturbing. And, you know, it's a he said, she said. I get that. But it's pretty obvious
now. I
think
she's kind of crazy, too. So, you know, I think some of it you have to wonder about. But still.
But it's pretty obvious this guy's got issues.
Yeah.
All right? There's been enough smoke that there's got to be a fire somewhere. And it's.
Well, most of the smoke does come from her. So, I mean, it is, you know.
Yeah, but Fred Smoke was following around this guy before.
No, but
she
I mean,
existed.
talking about physical violence and things like that, you know.
Either way, however crazy she is, we say this all the time, there's no excuse for hitting women.
No, not at all. But I don't want to just take everything that's being said at this at face value. I do think that there's enough. There wasn't enough for them to file charges, which, again, for the second time, makes me wonder a little bit, that especially when you hear all this, there wasn't enough to file charges there?
I guess not. I don't know how he's pulling that off.
So, anyway, I mean,
he's got a good family lawyer.
I guess. But, no, he's obviously got issues. The Cowboys have come out and said they're not going to be interested in him. And even Jerry Jones shouldn't be interested in this guy right now. I think what his dad says is kind of embarrassing. I mean, yes, the kid needs help. And it's time to quit thinking about, you know, Johnny Manziel, the football player, and actually start thinking about, hey, how are we going to fix this kid as a human being?
Right.
And try to turn that around. And if you can't do that, then his football career is not going to matter because it's never going to happen.
Right.
So I do think they need to find a way to get this guy home. They need to get him away from this chick, because that clearly, she's clearly not. I mean, she's got her issues too, and we've all seen it, man. You get around the wrong person, it can, and you're a weak-minded person, which he is. Bad things are going to happen, and I think they need to get him the hell away from her.
You think he's on a roster next season?
No,
I don't either.
Nor should he be. I think he needs some time to get his act together. And I think he needs another stint in rehab and actually hope it sticks this time. And then I think he needs to go play in Canada, try and get his game back if he wants to keep his football career going.
I think he needs to figure out the next move besides football, because, I mean, even if he goes into Canada, I feel like the guy's got enough money that he's going to live it up as much as he can.
He's going to blow through that money.
He doesn't want to be responsible. And when you are playing football for money, all it does is sort of it gives you more fuel. It empowers you to act like this jackass. And I think that he just needs to get away from it.
I think he needs to get away from it for a while. He needs a little humility.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know that he can ever mature enough. I don't. But I do think that if he can, then he might still have some kind of career in this business. But first and foremost, he needs to worry about getting his act together.
Yeah.
And, again, I without there being charges filed, I mean, it really is just it's another story. And yeah. There's, okay, he's out, you know, one of those, he's out doing something kind of things. Oh, okay.
I got Chuck.
All right. Head coach of the Indianapolis Colts.
Chuck, how you doing,
hey, Chuck,
sir?
How are you? Good to see you. All right, coach. First off, congratulations on your new deal. And
thank you. It's great to be here.
You're going to be around for a while.
No, absolutely. Very grateful, thankful for the opportunity, obviously. And love that team, love that city, love the community organization. And, you know, I'm blessed to have another opportunity to finish.
If I would have told you coming into this season when you basically kind of bet on yourself a little bit, and if I told you the season was going to unfold the way that it did, you would have said, oh, crap, I should have signed something a while back. This was a bad
Never. Never. Mean, you couldn't have talked me into that.
I mean, this had to be a very frustrating season for you, though, knowing that your future with the organization was kind of on the line, it seemed, and just nothing seemed to go right for you guys this year. Was this a really tough season for you?
Yeah, and it was tough on everybody, but you can look at it two ways, you know, glass half empty or glass half full. And I always choose to, you know, cancer taught me to be thankful for today. And if I get tomorrow, then so be it. You know, we're not promised anything. And it was a tough year, and it was a tough year on everybody. But, you know, the grit and the resiliency and the resolve that everybody showed through all the circumstances, all the obstacles, you know, we all know what we signed up for as players and coaches. We know what the expectations are. We know how we're judged. You know, you lose your quarterback, starting quarterback for nine games, and you're still able to, you know, go 5-3 with a 40-year-old quarterback and Matt Hasselbeck who played his tail off and then win a football game at the very end of the season, week 17, with, you know, two guys that were in the building for less than 5 days, you know, the Coney Island Thrasher, you know, Josh Freeman and Ryan Lindley, and go win a football game with those guys. And so you learn great lessons from every season. You know, you go 11-5, 11-5, 11-5, and I look at the 8-8 season, I look at this last season, and considering, you know, we didn't have Andrew, you know, for nine games and all the stuff that we went through, all the circumstances, all the obstacles, you know, I thought our coaches and players, it was their best coaching job. And I told the team that. And guys may look at me and say, hey, you're crazy. But, you know, at the end of the day, it all works out the way it's supposed to work out, and I'm very, very blessed.
And it was all the stuff off the field with these rumors of disconnects between you and the general manager, and yet – when you guys signed, I mean, they all went away. I mean, was there anything to that, or was that just kind of noise that comes up during the season?
I mean, we talk about having our blinders on, our earmuffs on, and control the controllables. And you know, there's going to be that stuff out there all the time. That'll still be out there, you know, and people are going to say, did you guys, you know, you didn't talk, you didn't do this. Of course we did. You know, you can't run an organization. You can't win football games. You're not being able to, you know, do the things that we had to do and overcome.
Listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow.
Live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50. Presented by Wingstop and Herb Robbins Cloud, LLP. Live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50. Presented by Wingstop and Herb Robbins Cloud, LLP. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back here at Radio Row in San Francisco, and still with us is Indianapolis head Colts head coach Chuck Pagano. Chuck, we appreciate you sticking around for a few minutes. I was enjoying the conversation off air, too. I want to ask you about headphones first before we get on to anything else, because I want to make sure we get that talked about. So tell us what's going on there.
Yeah, you know, obviously we've been wearing, you know, Bose headsets the last couple seasons, and it's a great opportunity, you know, for myself and our organization and the rest of the league, for that matter, to, you know, to be able to partner up with a company that obviously is second to none when it comes to, you know, the technology. You know, the military uses the same thing. You guys know as well as I do, communication. If we don't have communication, you know, on the sidelines, if it's not crystal clear, we get into these stadiums. You go play at Seattle. Teams that come to our place, our opponents, you need to hear what you need to hear, and then everything else needs to be canceled out. And that's the great thing about Bose. They're second to none. They're durable. They do a great job with it. And you know, again, communication from the sideline to the press box to the sideline, you know, the coach to quarterback communication. You know, if you don't have that, you're not on the same page. You know, coaching the secondary my whole life as an assistant, you know, when things break down in the back end and you got, you know, half the you know, secondary playing one coverage and the other half playing another, it's usually a touchdown. And so, you know, we hear what we need to hear, and it's obviously a great, great, you know, product.
One last one, because they want to get you out of here, but if you could tell me two things you want to see happen before next season that'll help you guys get back to where you were, you know, a step away from getting here, what would you like to see happen this offseason?
Well, you know, our participation in the offseason has been phenomenal the first 4 years, but that's always huge. We still got, this roster is fluid. We still got to go through free agency. We've got the, you know, the combine coming up. We got the draft coming up. Obviously a healthy quarterback. You know, our top priority is we've got a great one. We're very fortunate to have him, you know, on our team and on our roster. We've got to get him squared away, and you know, from a contract standpoint, all that, and they'll get that done. But we got to keep him upright, and we got to keep him healthy. He understands that, and we understand that, and so, you know, addressing the offensive line and making sure we've got the right pieces there, and we've got some great players and some great players coming back, and we'll address that. And obviously, we've made some changes, you know, from a staff standpoint. We've got some great new coaches, you know, in the building now. We lost some great men and some great coaches, but you know, to see that whole thing come together, and just really eager to get them back in the building. We start April 21 in the offseason program, but I guarantee you the lion's share of this football team right now is already back, you know, working at their craft.
All right, that's Coach Chuck Pagano, Indianapolis Colts. Coach, they're trying to get rid of you, so
yeah,
thank you.
Thanks
so
for
much
having me, guys. And, appreciate you guys.
Thanks,
yeah,
coach. Good luck.
Yeah.
Enjoy
yeah,
the rest
care
of your day.
Yeah.
Have a great
thank
season
you
next year. All right.
Look at this guy. We jumping right in here, Mike? All right. I got to say, I can already tell this is not Scott Floyd, even though that's what his name tag says. We got 4 minutes. Just be aware, we got 4 minutes, Freddie.
Yeah.
This guy sitting down is not Scott Floyd, even though that's what his
he looks sharp.
This is not Scott Floyd sitting down. This is Brandon Marshall.
Was Scott Floyd supposed to sit down?
I don't know. You've got his name tag.
They gave it to me to get in.
It's all right. Whatever gets it in.
I went to the front door. They was like, who are you? You don't have a credential. I was like, I'm supposed to be
Do
here.
Do you know who I am?
And I had to name drop a little bit. It's like, nah, buddy. Sorry, it's the NFL. If you don't have a credential, go around. So they gave me a fake credential.
Brandon Marshall, our guest. Brandon, what do you think of how this season went for you guys? It looked like Ryan Fitzpatrick, who everybody in Houston was eager to get out of town.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Beat me.
Thank you.
Beat me. But it looks like you guys found some lightning in a bottle up there in Ryan. Were you happy with
you guys
the way this
may have won the Super Bowl if y'all kept him one extra
Maybe
year.
So.
You got to be patient, man. We wanted we're just this microwave generation or microwave society now, man. Want everything right now. But hey, we won.
Yeah.
We won. We got the better end of that trade, and I'm just messing with Houston. You guys kicked our butts this year.
You feel good about the direction of the Jets?
I do. You know, obviously, I think that you know, we didn't get the job done this year. You know, most people would think that it's a successful season because we turned it around. We went 4-12 the year before, and then came back and won 10 games. But if you're not playing now, if you're sitting here working for Mountain Dew and talking about puppy monkey baby right now and then Mountain Dew Kickstart drink, then you lost, you know. And, you know, there's a lot of players right now, you know, really going to be tuned into this game and, you know, maybe like, man, that could have been us.
Yeah.
Yeah, that puppy monkey baby thing. I'm scared to death of that.
You wanna, it grosses me out.
Well, so it's been 15 years since Mountain Dew launched an ad for Super Bowl 50, and it was inspired by that drink. I don't know. They didn't give you guys a drink.
They didn't give us any. No, yeah. I don't care about
well,
us.
Well, it's a Mountain Dew Kickstart, and it's three things that make up the drink. It's the dew, it's caffeine, and it's also real juice. So they tried to figure out the three things that represents that, and that's how they came up. They came up with the puppy monkey baby. Can I see the puppy monkey baby?
Don't bring it over. Please. I saw it yesterday. I don't need to think around.
Oh, you saw it yesterday?
Oh, yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah,
she
would. Aaron had it?
Yeah. It makes me uncomfortable. I'm not going to lie. I'm out on that thing.
Yep. So it's cool,
you
man.
You feel like it seemed like since you left Chicago, you've kind of had a hard time finding a fit.
Yeah.
You know, you feel like with the Jets, you've got a real fit.
I wouldn't say that. You know, I had a deal in Denver. You know, everyone's, oh, he's been traded. Well,
that's
I had
true.
A Denver. I had a Denver,
Denver.
I had a deal in Denver that I didn't take. And, you know, I don't think it was the best deal for me. And we chose to go to Miami where, you know, I had some issues. And I had to go to McLean Hospital for 3 months and work through those things. And I'm proud of that. Got to Chicago, and it was the best fit. It was. The problem is, like I said, we talked about the microwave a little earlier. We didn't get the job done, and we imploded. And it was a very, very bad environment to be in for everyone. And when that happens, they're going to weed people out. And I was one of those guys. So I'm very boisterous guy, opinionated. And I know with that, when you do that, when you rock the boat and you start losing – it's going to get nasty for you. But I choose to be myself and instead of playing politics, and I'm fine with that.
Does it get nasty for you with your teammates or with the front office?
It's more so the media. You know, the media. I have problems all the time with players. You know, that's how it is. This year we won 10 games, and there were situations in camp and stuff like that where I was involved in some pushing matches, whatever. And that's the type of player I am. I try to set the tempo every single day. That's what I expect. I expect everyone to go 100%. You know, practice at a high level. That's how you get results. And there it is. But, you know, there's reports that came out of Chicago about other guys, you know, whether it's the quarterback or whatever. And, you know, that's all the media's narrative. And that's it.
Brandon, it's been a pleasure talking to you, my man. I always love watching you play.
Yep.
I feel like you still got a lot of football to play.
I appreciate
play, man.
That. Thank
I
you, guys.
Watching you.
Thanks,
Brandon. Thanks for,
right,
man. Thanks for keeping that thing away from me.
Yeah,
Brandon Marshall's been our guest.
Yeah, and that puppy monkey baby thing is crazy. All right. So Brandon Marshall was that guy is a complete beast, man. I wanted to ask him, though, if he felt like when he got there and he's got quarterbacks getting punched, if that wasn't something that made him wonder if he'd gotten in the right place.
Yeah.
But, anyway. All right. Very quick break. We'll see what comes next here. We're going to find out. Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman.
You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herb Robbins Cloud, LLP.
Pyros and Crips all got along. They probably got me down by the end of the song. Seem like the whole city go against me. Every time I'm in the street, I hear,
yak, 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 yak.
Man down, where you from? Do you know where you from? Where your grandma stay, huh, mine?
Live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud LLP. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back. That seemed like the longest break ever.
It was.
I've been wanting to get Cuba Gooding Jr. on the air the whole time.
But the people got what they wanted because he's been autographing everything, crumpling it into balls and throwing it into the crowd, and they're fighting over it like it's like it's treasures.
You know how we do. You know how we do.
Both of us have our laptops have been signed.
That's awesome.
So yeah, I mean, I'm about to throw it into the crowd. I'm actually taking it to eBay.
Yeah, exactly.
Cuba Gooding Jr. is our guest.
Hey,
he's playing O.J. Simpson in the People versus O.J. Simpson, which I'm excited to watch that whole thing. That's a what was the experience like? You know, when they say, "Hey, do you want to play O.J.?" And I mean, there's a stigma with it, but it's got to be a cool thing, man.
Yeah, it's really cool. You know, I choose roles now based on the filmmaker. And when my agents called me and said that Ryan Murphy wants to talk to you, I said, tell him I'm in, whatever it is. And they were like, whoa. He wants you to play O.J. I was like, okay, well, I'm still in because I knew that he would find truth to every scenario he put my character in. And then when I had a conversation with him, you know, we came to the understanding that we're not here to say if he's innocent or guilty. We're just here to examine this time in America, this 1994 trial where you had a dream team of lawyers and the circus that follows. So,
have you talked to O.J. at all?
Like, no.
Do you know O.J.? Did you?
No, not really. I mean, I met him during that time. You know, 92 even, I met him in a nightclub in his leather pants and a girl on each arm, the whole image of him, the whole circus around him as he moved through the club, you know, and it made a definite impression on me. And I wanted that to be the O.J. that I portrayed for this, not this shell of a man sitting incarcerated.
Yeah, you obviously have had so many great movies, and Jerry Maguire is the one that obviously propelled you to where you are. But one thing I always loved about you were one of those guys, you'd show up for a scene, like even in A Few Good Men, when you're on the stand, and you just stand out.
Yeah.
And
wow, thank you.
And I always thought from some of the earlier things that you did, I mean, it's always just stood out. One movie that I wanted to ask you about, because you probably don't get asked about it a lot, and I know you did Red Tails, but in the mid-90s, you did the Tuskegee Airmen, which
Tuskegee
I thought was
Airmen.
A fantastic,
thank you.
Fantastic
thank you
movie.
Much.
What was that like? How did that come about?
You know, it was one of those moments for me that I felt a sense of embarrassment that I didn't know who the Tuskegee Airmen were. You know, I had graduated high school and I was 20-something years old when they sent me that script, and I didn't know who they were. I didn't know they were black fighter pilots in World War II. So that was a real effort on my part to want to tell the truth for these men and women who fought and died for our country during that time period. And, you know, when I was offered George Lucas's Red Tails and them revisiting that story, it was just one of those things that I felt that it would be a goal of my career and an honor to portray the men and women in our armed services, armed forces.
Yeah, I thought it's both of them were really, but that one in particular,
thank
I thought
you.
Was fantastic. Great cast, too, besides
thank
yourself,
you.
With Lawrence Fishburne and some of those guys. So when you talk about taking roles now, you say it's always about who's doing it. What is your kind of goal now for the next part of your career? What else do you want to accomplish?
Oh, I have a specific goal. You know, they say television is the new in the golden era, and I believe that. I think you see these shows like The Nick with Steven Soderbergh and Cary Fukunaga, the first season of True Detective. I mean, Peaky Blinders. I mean, you see these series and you see these filmmakers, and those are that's my new goal now. I don't care what the role is. I think when you have a director who has a palette to tell a story not of 3 hours like it used to be, now he's got 10 hours, 13 hours, and it's one filmmaker propelling the narrative. I mean, that's a dream, you know, and as an actor, you want to be that blank slate for them to paint on.
Cuba Gooding Jr., our guest. It's interesting because the two Fargo series did the same thing.
Yeah,
and
I was going to say, the second season, Fargo's brilliant.
It was. And directors seem to be really into it, but it's kind of cool to hear you as an actor saying that you want to do that, too, to tell that story over a longer period of time.
So into it. I've been courted by television for the past decade. And I kept saying no because I didn't want to just play a character, let's say, in a courtroom lawyer or a cop with a gun solving case murder week after week after week for years. You know, I think it's easy for the audience to get bored of that character. But then you have this limited series thing. and you have this character that you jump into for a year or maybe 2 or 3 years. Then you jump out of it. You have one vision of storytellers, like with this even. You had Ryan's vision propelling us, and yet he brought in John Singleton, who I hadn't worked with since Boys in the Hood, to do one episode. He brought in Anthony Hemingway, who directed Red Tails, that I hadn't worked in since that Tuskegee Airmen movie. And it was just those three men and their vision, you'll see as they collaborate through these 10 episodes of The People versus O.J. Simpson. And it's why it's such an impactful, powerful piece.
One, I know we got to let you go. You got to run. But, you know, there's a lot of controversy about the Oscars this year, about no African-American nominees. Do you feel there was a performance this year that you feel particularly was left out? Or was this just a year where there wasn't a great black performance? What are your thoughts?
Well, it's very interesting because, you know, I'm asked that a lot. And I have a few things to say on it.
Because you don't want to put someone just because they're black.
Exactly right.
Right.
I've been an Academy member since 93. This was 3-4 years before I actually won the Academy Awards. And the condition is you have to start in 3 films, and then you have to have 2 Academy members sponsor you. And they still can say no. So I asked Dustin Hoffman to sponsor me and Kevin Spacey to sponsor me and got in. And I cherish my membership in the Academy. But at the same time, yes, there needs to be change. There needs to be questions of diversity. But the Academy Awards are the end of the food chain. If you want to talk about diversity, talk about it being in the executive levels when they're greenlighting these $200 million movies and they're telling stories that don't have black people involved, don't have Asians, and it's the types of story they're telling. But if you look at TV right now, we're killing it. I mean, you look at The People versus O.J. Simpson, it's the rainbow coalition of nationalities. And I think that's because television is more reflective of the stories that people are hungry for.
All right, Cuba Gooding Jr., man, appreciate the time so much. Thanks
Anytime,
for sitting
fellas.
Down with us. You got to be
Anything else
fun
you
here.
Want me to sign?
I'll tell you, if you sign that scarf,
phone, phone, this piece of paper here. Give me for you. Oh. Nah, budget, nah, I'm just...
Thank you so much. Oh, that was a lot of fun. That didn't suck.
He actually did autograph my phone
he
case.
He did autograph your phone case.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Yeah, he came over. My laptop's been signed.
The table itself is signed.
The table itself is signed.
He's very generous with his signature.
Did he sign the chair?
No.
I don't think he signed Puppy Baby Monkey, though.
He shouldn't touch that.
Yeah, you don't want to get anywhere near that
thing. Don't touch that thing.
But that was a lot of fun, and I really like how so many of these great actors are gravitating towards these TV series now.
Yeah,
and
you're talking about one of the best, and he wants to do TV, you know.
Yeah, and that was one of the things about Billy Bob Thornton wanting to do the first Fargo. It's the same thing that he talked about was being able to do 10 episodes as opposed to. You know, being stuck with 22 episodes a year on a network or just doing a movie, if you do a 10-episode enclosed thing, you can tell a much better story. And I really like hearing guys say that because it's just going to create more and more brilliant stuff. So, collecting
he signed a couple of these. I don't know. You want to give them out to those people over there.
Yeah, give them anything that's signed, go ahead and give out.
Except my laptop and cell phone.
Right, keep the laptop here.
I need those.
Unless someone wants to pay me, $1,100 for it. So, anyway, if you want to get in touch with the show, let us know what you thought of that. At Fred Faur, Faour, at AJ is the real. And you can also text the show at 713-780-3776. It's funny because we get a chance to, we always talk to athletes. I mean, it's part of the job, right? I have so much fun when we get a guy like that.
Oh, yeah.
You just... that's not to say we don't have fun with athletes. Brandon Marshall right before him was really good too. And I love the Ryan Leaf interview yesterday and a couple others we did. It's just I like it when we branch out of sports because to me it's always it's more interesting. I think this is our 3rd Academy Award winner we've had now. We had Jeff Bridges on.
Right. Costner. Cuba Gooding Jr. We might have had more. I don't even know.
I remember when we had Bridges on, that was the first one. Then he's second after Costner. So I think this is our 3rd Academy Award winner. That's
Look at
good.
Us.
And maybe the first Academy member we have. All right, quick break. We'll be right back.
Bang. You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud, LLP. Live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50, presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud, LLP. This is The Blitz. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back here, Radio Row, San Francisco, and the hits keep on coming with our guests as Jamal Charles and Ryan joins us here on the set.
Jamal, I've known Jamal since 2004, five, something like that, when he was in high school is the first time I met Jamal. Interviewed him before the Under Armour All-American game, and then, of course, I covered him the whole time he was at Texas.
Yeah.
But, Jamal, it's always good to see you, man. Talk about, you know, Super Bowl week, just being here. This has got to be an exciting time for you guys.
Yeah, everybody come here for the special moment to watch all these amazing players that made it to here. But the reason why I'm here is to talk about the Special Olympics. They have an impact on my whole life growing up as a kid, and I just wanted to shine a light on them today.
Yeah, and that brought a guest with you. Who's your buddy here?
Ryan, man. Ryan, tell them about you, Ryan.
I love doing this. Is fun.
All right. This It is fun. Ryan, you are you an athlete?
Yes, I am.
What do you do?
I do basketball, softball, unified golf. And now Special Olympics is getting flag football.
Oh, nice. You're going to play some flag football.
Yes, I am.
There we go. There we go. Jamal, the injury this year, obviously kind of a bummer. But, I mean, are you feeling like the Chiefs are a team that's headed in the right direction? You feel good about the progress the team's made?
I always feel like that. You know what I'm saying? The second year we didn't make the playoff, but the first year Coach Reed got there, we made the playoff. And this year, we lost in the first round the first time. This year, we got a chance to move to the second round and lost to a very good team that had been there mostly the last 8 years of since Belichick been there. So I think we're going in the right way. Coach, we got a great coaching staff, great players on our team that mostly all pros and make the Pro Bowl most of every year.
You still keep up with your old alma mater? You think Charlie's going to get a turnaround there?
I think so. You know what I'm saying? I just saw when it was at the we was at 32 ranked in recruiting. Then we moved to number 10 the last time I saw it. Now I found out we were number 2 in the nation. So, you know what I'm saying? That tell you that way that Coach Charlie, he's bringing in on his own players, and he's trying to turn the program around.
So that moment of yours that went viral with the Special Olympics, where it really came off what it meant to you, what did that feel like? Because, I mean, that really did touch a lot of people.
Yeah, I just wanted to aspire the life of them because, you know what I'm saying, everybody look at Special Olympics people different, you know what I'm saying? I wanted to be an impact of their life that they can look at me and see a hero that made it and that came from that, the Special Olympics, to shine a light on them because, I mean, I feel like everybody should be treated equal. When I was growing up, I just saw different things that nobody really paid attention to them. But now I see in the last couple of years that it's changed, really. A lot of people that volunteering their turn to help these guys out. And I think that's amazing what these people are doing in the world.
So when you guys start playing flag football, you're gonna play with Jamal?
So you going to play with me?
Oh, yeah, man.
Got to have him on your team.
Yeah, make sure he's on your team, though. So doing this whole Super Bowl radio road thing, Jamal, looking ahead to next year, you come back healthy. That's a darn good team you're on. How cool would it be to be able to play in this game? Not just to play in this game, but to be right down the road from where you grew up.
Man, that would be amazing. And I talk about that all the time, man, making there and playing in that area where I'm from, man, that would be just my dream to come true. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know what God got in store for. Maybe he had to sit me out this year to see what he had for me. But I'm waiting patiently, you know what I'm saying? I just come back and do whatever I got to do to come back and be the best I can be and get back on top of the game.
I got a chance to watch you play in high school a couple of times, a couple of games where you had well over 300 yards rushing.
This dude had games where he had 500 yards rushing.
It was just
rushing.
Silly. And I just have to say that there were some pretty good guys you were going up against, and you were just amazing
And, yeah, I'm so glad to see you have the success in the NFL. And when you're healthy, man, you're so much fun to watch. You're such an impact player. And, man, I hope you have a healthy season and do some great things.
Appreciate that.
And also really appreciate what you do with Special Olympics.
Happy to be here with Ryan, man. I mean, I've been having a fun time with him and the amazing things he have. Tell them about your three favorite teams in the NFL.
My three favorites is the Niners, Kansas City Chiefs, and the New England Patriots.
All right.
That's an interesting mix.
Tell them you're predicted about the game this week coming up.
I say Carolina's going to win this weekend because Michael Orr is one of my other favorite athletes because I liked his movie, The Blind Side.
Right. I like that movie, too.
Me, too.
This is the best Michael Orr he's probably ever he's probably the best he's ever played. If you would have asked me 2 years ago, I would have said Michael Orr. That movie was his best moment. And now look at him. The guy's got it all together now.
I think he's been to two Super Bowls now.
Yeah, he's on the right path. Yeah. Good for him. Jamal, appreciate it, man. Good to see you as always, and continued success. I hope you get another healthy year in you. And
appreciate that.
I loved covering you in college. I love that you were there for that championship. It was well deserved. One of the great teams of all time, I think. I think you guys are on the right path there in Kansas City.
Thanks.
I think you guys are set up to do very well.
And, Ryan.
Ryan, great to meet you, man. Best of luck in flag football coming up this year.
All right, thank you.
All right, guys.
Thanks for coming on with us, guys.
That's Jamal Charles.
All right. We are coming up against a break here. What we will let you know is that coming up next, we have our buddy R.J. Bell, who is going to talk about all the gambling and everything. And we will probably have a couple more guests before it's all said and done. But been a very, very interesting day so far, as it usually is here on Radio Row on a Friday. But very cool to get Jamal Charles. And looks like he's moving around fine. So hopefully hopefully he'll be healthy and ready to go.
Yeah, he's good. He'll be good, man.
All right. Well, we've got 1 hour left in our little experience here.
And that's it, the final countdown.
The final countdown. Now I've got that doggone Geico commercial in my head. Thank you for that. All right. When we come back, RJ Bell, pregame.com, one of our best guests, will join us. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Radio Row in San Francisco for Super Bowl 50.
I think this sounds awesome.
Presented by Wingstop and Herd Robbins Cloud, LLP.